From Altoona to Grantham, Bedford to Ephrata, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, the Commonwealth Foundation has conducted a new public opinion poll, and voters across Penn's Woods are in a bad mood. Stephen Bloom of the Commonwealth Foundation and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association are here for a Capitol Watch discussion. And a flurry of polls show Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in a dead-even race for Pennsylvania's 19 electoral votes. But on my town hall commentary, I'll give you the numbers that really matter. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capitol Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. In a rare move, the Pennsylvania State Senate has voted to compel Pennsylvania Revenue Secretary Pat Brown to appear before them to answer questions as to why he will not divulge tax information sought in a Senate committee subpoena. At issue are details of government funding tied to the Allentown Neighborhood Improvement Zone. When Brown was a state senator, he wrote legislation that created the zone, which has now deprived state coffers of over $500 million in tax revenue. Brown, a Republican, was defeated in his most recent primary election and was later tabbed by Democrat Governor Josh Shapiro to be revenue secretary. Brown is now asking Commonwealth Court to intervene to prevent his having to appear before the Senate. His evasiveness has raised eyebrows, causing folks to wonder what it is he's attempting to shield from public scrutiny. Last year, Allegheny County elected a far-left progressive Democrat as its new county executive. Property owners will now pay the price. County Executive Sarah Inamorata this past week unveiled her proposed 2025 budget. It includes a whopping 45% increase in county property taxes. If approved by county council, it will be the first Allegheny County property tax hike in 12 years and would be the largest such increase in recent memory. Moody's Ratings Service delivered some good news to state government, upgrading the Commonwealth's credit rating on general obligation bonds, but the upgrade came with a warning that massive increases in state spending, particularly on education funding, along with weak demographic and revenue trends, point to future fiscal problems that could result in a downgrade if the state fails to maintain adequate rainy day funds. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. The Commonwealth Foundation has been conducting periodic polling to determine the mood of voters in Pennsylvania and also discern their views on key issues. We have results from the latest poll. Stephen Bloom from the Commonwealth Foundation and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association have a Capitol Watch discussion. Steve?
Welcome to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on the Capitol Dome for you. I'm Steve Bloom, Vice President of the Commonwealth Foundation, hosting for David Taylor. Joining me today is Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. Rebecca, good to be with you again.
Great to be with you here, Steve. Thank you.
Absolutely, and welcome back. And we are going to be looking at a lot of data and information today from a brand new poll that's out. The Commonwealth Foundation commissions a quarterly poll called the Common Ground Poll, and the results have just rolled in. And so we've got a lot to talk about, many, many topics, and we're going to find out in this season of great interest in what's happening in Pennsylvania in terms of the presidential election and other elections happening in November, the business climate here in Pennsylvania, things that are going on in our state, which is seemingly at the forefront of all the different important things happening across the country, certainly the presidential campaign for one. What are you seeing out there just when you're interacting with your members, Rebecca, and folks you cross paths with? What are citizens thinking about? And then let's dig into the poll a little bit and see how that compares to what you're hearing out there on the roads.
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, there's just a lot of anxiety going on right now. And I think everyone would probably agree with that, just because we're on the verge of this big election. And there are very stark contrasts between, the candidates at both the national level and the state level. There are stark contrasts. contrast between the policy, you know, the policies moving forward with those candidates. So there's a lot of anxiety about where we're moving forward. And I know we're going to get into some of those policy issues with the result of this poll. But I mean, big issues like energy, the environment, taxes, national security.
As we open up this poll, we've called it on our website. New poll finds Pennsylvania voters pessimistic about direction of country and economic future. And that kind of sets the stage. There's a lot of pessimism, as you said, concern and worry out among the citizens as we roll into this fall of 2024. We polled 800 registered voters across the Commonwealth from September 26 through 29. It's a poll with a margin of error, I think about 3.6% margin of error or so, I think it is. I don't have that sheet right in front of me, but scientifically done. We at the Commonwealth Foundation, we're not trying to create results. We want to find out what people are really thinking so that when we work on policies, we can hopefully change things for the better. And we need to understand what's really happening, not what it might appear is happening. So we're always digging in with polling research to find out what's really going on. Inflation and rising costs are top concerns. Elections for federal and state executive offices are also important to folks. Nearly 7 in 10 registered voters are saying that inflation and price increases impact their family's ability to maintain their standard of living. Over half of all registered voters surveyed say the economic conditions are worsening. And one of the concerns is high energy costs. They contribute, obviously, to the inflationary squeeze. And according to the survey, 77% of respondents say their energy bills have increased over the past 2 years. 33% of those say they've increased a lot. A significant majority, 71%, say they're concerned about their ability to afford their family's energy needs.
I think the people responding to this poll understand that energy affects everything. The cost of energy, I mean, whether they're paying the bills for their electric bills in their house or, you know, they're trying to run a business and they're filling up their gas tank or they're, like you said, their diesel truck tank at the pump, they are seeing the impact of that energy bill and that cost, not only are they trying to deal with that cost, but that cost then is built into the cost of other products. So as, for instance, those diesel trucks are moving goods out on the highways, the cost of that increased diesel rate goes into the cost of those products. So it actually energy sort of the cost of energy compounds throughout throughout the economy and throughout the supply chain. So it is contributing to the cost increase and the inflationary pressures that we're seeing. And I think people understand that.
Nearly 8 in 10 Pennsylvania voters, that's 78%, worry about the future availability of affordable energy. So it's key. It's something people are thinking about. Looking at some of the practical side of that, when we look at people's perceptions of energy and environmental issues, 56% of respondents see rising energy costs as the most pressing issue, followed by 28% who say ensuring energy grid reliability and modernization to prevent blackouts is the most important. Only 19% say that environmental harms from energy exploration and production are their top concern. So there's a very practical, pragmatic outlook amongst the public for abundant, reliable energy that is affordable. Sometimes you might think that environmental groups are controlling what's happening in Pennsylvania and across the country, but in fact, they only have support from about 19% of the people who say environmental harms are their first concern.
It's obviously clear that Pennsylvanians understand how important energy development is to Pennsylvania and to the Pennsylvania economy. When you have here 74% of the survey Pennsylvanians supporting more natural gas infrastructure, and that would be to transport natural gas and to ease the strain on our electrical grid, they understand how important natural gas and other energy infrastructure is to our economy and how important it is to Pennsylvania. So I think that's what we're seeing here is most Pennsylvanians understand how important that is. And they realize that in order to maintain our economic success, that we've got to have energy.
What about at the ballot box? What are people thinking about when they're preparing to vote this November, or if they're getting ready to vote early, they start voting before November? And the time has come for this election to start to play out the phase of the actual votes being cast. And what are people thinking as we head into that? Well, the races are extremely competitive across the board. You have obviously the race for president, U.S. Senate, state executive offices, all those seem to be based on the survey, not surprisingly, based on the survey, by a small margin, voters believe that Republican policies are better for the economy, but actual Democratic candidates have a slight lead in terms of just either right in the margin of error or right outside the margin of error in terms of how well they're doing. So there's a little disconnect there between policy and personality, but in every case, these election issues are close. There's no doubt that, as advertised and talked about so much, Pennsylvania is the crossroads. It's the ground zero for this U.S. election cycle, and it's proving to be true, and we're divided right down the middle here in Pennsylvania. A key factor based on the data about energy and economics and the cost of living indicates that, given the fact that these races are so narrowly split right now, the candidates are going to have to remain aware of economic and financial pressures on individuals and families. Policies that make things worse or threaten their financial futures will get very little support. Policies that grow our economy and promote financial security, such as promoting energy development, are clear winners. You're listening to Capital Watch with myself, Steve Bloom, and Rebecca Euler. Rebecca, we've been looking into some of the results of the new Common Ground poll just released by the Commonwealth Foundation. And one of the areas that we were talking about was how the impact of policy preferences is actually impacting the various races for the various open offices here in Pennsylvania that are up for re-election this cycle. And starting with kind of the top of the ticket, and keep in mind, this is a poll of registered voters. It's not a poll of likely voters, so it's a little different probably in terms of some of the other results we see. But the current head-to-head for the presidential race, per the results of the polls, is 50-46% with Harris leading Trump. But at the same time, 61% of independent voters remain dissatisfied with their choice of 2024 presidential candidates. So there's still middle ground there in terms of either candidate could still gain ground with voters and break that very close current race that's truly head-to-head here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think that's true. Just looking at some of the responses to the polls here, and looking over the list of the most important problems facing the country today, which the respondents actually listed, the top three on the list are inflation, cost of living, immigration, border security, and the U.S. economy. And looking at that in combination with the sort of, we're familiar with these right track, wrong track polls, and this at the top of the poll here was, would you say that things in America are going in the right track or the wrong track? And 68% of the respondents to this survey said that we're gone off on the wrong track, which and 26% said right track. So I was curious as to how that compared to the rest of the country, and we are more wrong track than the rest of the country. The rest of the country is about 63%, whereas Pennsylvania is at 68%. So I'd say my takeaway from that is that those issues that these respondents are ranking high here, those three issues, inflation, immigration, and U.S. economy, these candidates are going to need to be talking about, because this is what these voters are going to make their decisions on. So all of the candidates that are running for federal and for state offices, to the extent that they have policy points on these issues, those would be the things that I think are going to be important to Pennsylvania voters.
And turnout's going to play a key role as well because of the large blocks of undecided voters. About one-third of independents are still on the fence in terms of who they're going to vote for in some of the key statewide races, including U.S. Senate, Attorney General, Auditor General, and Treasurer. So we're seeing a lot of undecided voters out there. We're seeing a lot of issues swirling around. Another issue that I think is worthy of mentioning is over two-thirds of Pennsylvania voters support legislation securing our elections by requiring identification, with only about one in six voters opposing. So there's a big issue, creating a situation in which voter ID would be shown before a person could vote. It's extremely popular with the voters of Pennsylvania. Very few are actually against that, despite what you might think from some of the rhetoric you hear around it in terms of both the Pennsylvania Capitol and the U.S. Capitol when folks talk about requiring voter ID. Pennsylvanians are looking to have less regulation and increase energy production. We kind of talked about that already. Support for education reform is extremely strong. 60% of Pennsylvanians would support a child learning investment tax credit worth up to $8,000 per student that families could use to reduce their tax liability and cover educational expenses, including private school tuition. So that idea, expanding school choice through a refundable tax credit, certainly gaining traction with the voters across Pennsylvania. More than two-thirds of all voters, including over half the Democrats and Republicans, agree that ensuring affordable energy is a higher priority than combating climate change. So when we look at the whole issue of climate change and energy and unlocking our energy resources here in Pennsylvania, it's important to notice that in this poll, nearly 8 in 10 registered voters are supportive of additional drilling and the impact that gas drilling has on Pennsylvania's economy. Only 13% feel that it's not at all important, where 79%, again, feel it's extremely important. So there's an issue where so much rhetoric floating around it, but in terms of where the voters stand, a vast majority of the voters realize how important natural gas drilling is to the Pennsylvania economy. We look at a list of possible energy issues, and the number one most important energy issue is rising energy costs. The least important one, only 5% of voters supporting it, not enough regulations on energy production. So Pennsylvanians feel there's adequate regulation, and they recognize the importance of energy to our economic success here in Pennsylvania.
You know, it's funny. You had mentioned a little bit of a disconnect sometimes between the way these respondents felt about policy issues and the candidates that they were expressing support for. This is one of those I would call that out. And I think we all know that Kamala Harris has, you know, she was opposed to fracking and now she's, you know, trying to change that policy stance. And this is one of those where she seems to have, based on the results of this poll, been successful, because we know that, like you said, that most Pennsylvanians are very supportive of an energy development, natural gas drilling, and expanding that and building infrastructure to support it. But those same respondents are saying that 46% said that Kamala Harris would do the best job of making energy more affordable for Americans, as opposed to 42% for Donald Trump. So that seems to be that she is making inroads with that policy argument.
Is Pennsylvania on the right track or on the wrong track? And we see this data. It's been collected now for about 2 years' worth of data. And we're seeing right now a divergence between 57% of the voters who believe that Pennsylvania is going in the wrong track versus 33% who think it's going in the right direction. And those numbers are separating. In other words, more and more people are getting convinced that we are not on the right track. Fewer are believing that we are on the right track. So the question is asked about, would you say things in America are going in the right track or the wrong track? 68% say wrong track, 26% in the right direction. So the view of voters in Pennsylvania on their state versus the nation is more optimistic. There's much more pessimism when it comes to the direction the national economy, the country is doing versus how Pennsylvania itself is doing. Looking at some of the personalities involved, Governor Shapiro, do you approve or disapprove of his job performance? He gets 55% approving his job performance and 32% who disapprove. So those arrows are actually coming together as well. Fewer are saying that they approve. More are saying they disapprove in terms of the trend lines in both directions. So Governor Shapiro is still relatively popular, but we may be seeing the beginnings of his popularity declining somewhat in Pennsylvania. We look at the same sort of viewpoint in terms of favorability rating for Vice President Kamala Harris. We see that there's actually a convergence of the favorability in those who see her as in an unfavorable manner. They're tied at 49% right now. So as close as you can get, her favorability is right down the middle, half in favor and half feeling they have an unfavorable view of her, half having a favorable view of her.
And I think that really highlights why the polls in Pennsylvania are so important right now and why the state of Pennsylvania is so critical to this election, because it really is difficult to tell.
Another question that we asked the folks taking the poll, would you say that you and your family are financially better off, about the same or worse off as you were 2 years ago? 13% say they're better off, 40% say they're worse off, and those arrows are diverging. So there's a pessimistic view in terms of individual families and the impact of Pennsylvania's policies on them. How much have inflation and recent price increases impact your household's ability to maintain your standard of living? 69% say a great deal. Only 29% say not at all. And then just in terms of overall rating of Pennsylvania's current economy, 59% say it's negative, 38% say positive. So generally, the voters are pessimistic. In terms of the state of Pennsylvania business, the poll asked the voters, do you think the state of Pennsylvania is worse off for businesses or about the same for businesses than it was 10 years ago? 13% say it's better now. 48% say it's worse now. So we can see there's clearly some difficulty with policy that voters would support and that they would be interested in seeing happen to make Pennsylvania more business friendly just aren't happening. And unfortunately, that perception that Pennsylvania is better for business, only 13% think so, and 48% again think worse for business. There's so much we've talked about in the poll, and we don't have that much time left. Anything else you wanted to bring up, Rebecca?
Well, I would like to highlight one of the things that we talk about frequently on this show is how, you know, we're losing our productive workforce to other states. And that came out just again in this poll, in that 38% of the respondents have thought about leaving Pennsylvania or know someone who's thought about leaving Pennsylvania. So and that's due to cost of living, taxes, and better job opportunities. So I think that just reinforces a lot of the things that we talk about frequently about making the Commonwealth friendlier for business and really encouraging job growth. And the fact that we are losing our productive workforce and our tax base that goes with it. So this just reinforces that.
Good perspective, Rebecca. Well, that's all the time we have today. Rebecca, where can folks find you to learn more about you?
They can find the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association at pmta.org.
And as always, you can find me at commonwealthfoundation.org, where also all these survey results are public, and you can dig in for yourself into the internals and the primary results of the polling that we've just talked about on the show today. For Rebecca Euler, I'm Steve Bloom. Please join us again next time for Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, David. The 2024 presidential election is rapidly becoming the most polled election in Pennsylvania history. As the most important battleground state, political observers scour every poll taken in Penns Woods for some hint as to the status of what again is likely to be a very close battle for the Commonwealth's 19 electoral votes. Almost without exception, every poll has Donald Trump and Kamala Harris within the margin of error. As such, the drama that surrounds every point or half-point change in the polling has made for interesting parlor speculation. But polling is so imprecise and the race is so close that the polls are in fact meaningless in terms of discerning who is winning the horse race. There are three other sets of numbers that carry far more significance than polling, and as such should be watched far more closely than opinion polls. One of the key predictive factors as to how a person will vote is their party registration. At one time, there were over 1.1 million more registered Democrats than there were registered Republicans statewide in Pennsylvania. By the November 2020 presidential election, the voter registration advantage had shrunk to just a little over 685,000 voters. Fast forward to October 2024, and the Democrat voter registration edge has been sliced in half since the 2020 election, down to just 338,000 voters. Tellingly, 48,618 Democrats have switched their party affiliation to Republican, 2.5 times more party switches than Republicans to Democrat. Although Democrat registrations gained steam after the party switched out Joe Biden for Kamala Harris, Republican registrations climbed even faster. Putting a cherry atop the registration Sunday for Republicans, Bucks County in the Philadelphia suburbs, Luzerne County in northeastern Pennsylvania, and Beaver County in southwestern Pennsylvania flipped from blue to red. No county has flipped from red to blue. Democrats have dominated Republicans in mail-in balloting since the advent of no-excuse mail-in voting in 2020. Here, too, Democrats are underperforming. As of the 1st of October, there are 380,000 fewer Democrat applications for a mail-in ballot than at the same time in 2020. Republican mail-in ballot requests are down by about 60,000, giving the GOP almost a 300,000 voter net advantage. Another major change is the GOP's approach to mail-in balloting. While the party fought and attacked mail-in voting in 2020, it is embracing the practice in 2024. In 2020, many Republicans, 141,000, who applied for and received mail-in ballots, failed to follow through and vote. It is likely some number of those voters instead went to the polls in person, but there is no doubt a large number of GOP votes were literally left lying on the table. There are concentrated efforts to ensure those votes are cast this year. Projects like the Pennsylvania Chase have deployed an army of 120 full-time paid door knockers who are fanning out across the Commonwealth to make sure voters send in their ballots. Finally, there is the impact of the Green Party. In 2020, Democrats successfully convinced the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to strike the Green Party presidential nominee, Jill Stein, from the November ballot. The Green Party's nominee for state auditor general received 78,588 votes in the 2020 general election, while the Green Party nominee for state treasurer received 81,984 votes. Keep in mind, Joe Biden won Pennsylvania by 80,555 votes, making the plausible assumption that most of the Green Party presidential votes ended up in the Biden column with Stein off the ballot, and that decision alone contributed significantly to the Biden victory. All else being equal, which of course it is not, these three sets of numbers must be causing great angst in the Harris campaign. Further, polling shows that inflation and the economy, along with illegal immigration, are the top concerns of voters, and Trump consistently leads when pollsters ask who can best address those issues. Most polls are subject to a margin of error of at least plus or minus 4%, which means that any lead of 4% or less is essentially meaningless. But registration and mail-in ballot requests are not subject to a margin of error and therefore represent a far better snapshot of where the election stands. With the Town Hall Commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 29 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WFIL-AM in Philadelphia, WERG-FM at Gannon University in Erie, along with WISL-AM in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania. Thank you.